All right, we're continuing our lesson. This will be our last lesson in Proverbs 9. As we talk about the subject of wisdom multiplying days. And we're in chapter 9, verses 10 through 12, which reads, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me," and that "me" is referring to wisdom, for wisdom is speaking here, "for by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself. But if thou scornest, thou alone shalt bear it." Now we see in this passage, and we've discussed this in some length, in order to know wisdom, the fear of the Lord must be present. We see in this that wisdom does not reveal herself to those who get on in life without fearing the one by whom they were created. Wisdom brings to those who fear the Lord the knowledge of the holy. Now, when you boil that down, that's the mission of wisdom, the knowledge of the holy. That's what wisdom points to. It's to bring one the knowledge of the holy, for there is no wisdom apart from the knowledge of the holy. Wisdom does not waste itself on knowledge not about the holy. Whatever is called wisdom in the world, apart from God, is not the wisdom that is part with God. We want to make sure we know what we're talking about when we're talking about wisdom, for wisdom points to the knowledge of the holy. The wisdom that the world elevates, we would call worldly wisdom, but worldly wisdom passes away, while the wisdom that comes with the fear of God is eternal. You know, as Christians, our investment is in the eternal. Someone might come up to you and say, "Why are you wasting your life on that which you do?" Well, they say that because they're wasting their life on that which is temporal. But the child of God puts his investment in that which is eternal. That's what faith is all about, believing further down the road than this life. But worldly wisdom passes away, while that wisdom that comes from the fear of the Lord is eternal. So fearing God is paramount if wisdom is expected. And when wisdom enters, the knowledge of the holy comes, and with that comes understanding. You know, you don't have understanding unless you have the knowledge of the Holy One. You're living in a dream world without knowing God. Did you know that? People are walking around this earth, billions upon billions, living in dream worlds that don't know God, thinking that this world is something that it's not. Only those who know God know anything of worth, for all else will pass away and be no more, for all the chaff of this world is refused entry into eternity. The hand of God stays that chaff. Can't come in. Worldly wisdom can't come in. True understanding of all that we are given to see only comes about with a knowledge of the holy. Now, one knowledge that we gain by the fear of the Lord is that fact that God is our benefactor. Do you understand that? You know, it's wonderful to have a benefactor. There used to be a song was called Sugar Daddy, something like that, where these girls would want to get a sugar daddy to be their benefactor. You know, really, in the old days, marriage was looked upon as a must by a woman and a man for help to each other. It's not that much these days, but there was always a seeking of a benefactor. And in a way, marriage is that way. You need her and she needs you. And together you form a oneness that gets the job done. But the knowledge that we gain by the fear of the Lord is that God is our benefactor. That means that He is our helper, that He is our patron, that He is our protector. All that He does for us is for our benefit. And did you know that we can do nothing for His benefit? Do you know that? All that He does is by grace. And that is the unmerited favor of God. He does everything for us without price. For we have no entitlement to anything that He offers due to any merit that we may think we have. You know, some of us, we think that we're doing God a favor by trusting Him. We're doing God no favor by trusting Him. He's doing us the favor. Wisdom is given to those who fear God, and with wisdom comes benefit. Did you get your daily load of benefits today? The Scriptures say that He daily loadeth us with benefits. I love that verse. You know, if you think about that verse, you'll say, boy, I better start counting my benefits. What a benefit package there is in trusting God. You know, the people are concerned about their benefit packages. They go interview for a job. What's the benefit package? Well, interview God and see what the benefit package is. Boy, I'll tell you, if you concentrate on the things that you don't have, shame on you. Can you imagine God hearing your gripes and complaints and groans and moans about what you don't have? And when He says, look at the daily load of benefits I gave to you today, and you're concentrating on that one little thing. Now, in our passage for today, we're told this: for by me, wisdom, thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. Now, we see here, very plainly given, a connection of the fear of the Lord with the lengthening of life. Now, as I've said before in teaching, and all preachers say this, the fear of the Lord brings obedience to the Lord's commands. In the home, the fear of the Father brings obedience of the children to the commands of the Father. You don't have obedient children, you don't have children who fear the Father. Oh, I don't want my children to fear me. Well, you're wrong. The fear of the Father is the beginning of wisdom in the child. Why? Because it leads to obedience. Don't you want an obedient child? Because you want an obedient child just for their safety's sake. So the fear of the Lord brings obedience to the Lord's commands. This is the natural outcome of the fear of the Father, and this originates in the fear of the Lord. You have the fear of the Lord, and you'll communicate that to your children. Did you know that a genuine fear of the Lord brings a dread upon the child of God of offending his father? I remember as a little child, now my parents weren't perfect in their discipline, but I remember as a child, one thing that governed my behavior was the fear of offending my parents. You know, what will my mother say about this? I had to bring a note home from the teacher. Boy, that was a shame. What will mom say about this? What will dad say about this? A fear of offending my parents. And that's the same kind of fear that we have when we fear God. A fear of offending God. The child of God has only one desire, and that is to please and delight the Father. And this pleasing comes about by obedience to the commands of the Father. Now, the Father's law, the Father's commandments are designed for the betterment of the son's life. That's what you do with your children. Everything that you do is for the betterment of the child. It should be. Now, that's not the case in all homes, but it should be in the Christian home. Everything that God does is for our betterment. It's for the betterment of the son's life. The things that the Father does are designed for continued life on earth, and they are designed for eternal life. You know, you're getting prepared for eternal life. If you have Christ, you have eternal life already. Now, the Father, as we know in the Scriptures, does not make laws for his son that lessen life. He doesn't make laws that shorten life. Doesn't make laws that take life. He's not vindictive. He's not grievous. The Father's law, if it's in the heart, is not a burden. It is not a restraint. All of the Father's laws are there to promote life. You know, even the Scriptures tell us that when you honor your father and your mother, this will affect your life. Exodus 20:12 says this, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." You know, I think back on my own life. My dad died when I was 21. I didn't have a lot of time to know him as an adult. And when you're under 21, you don't know anything. You think you're the cat's meow. That's an old saying. You think you're the center of attention. And your parents are there to just serve you. But you regret that you didn't honor your parents the way you should have. And I urge you who have parents today to honor your parents. Look after their needs. Concern yourself about them while they're alive. When they're gone, it's too late. But you know, that very honoring of your father and mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, that very honoring of your parents will be honored by God with long life. Now that's quite a reward from wisdom, is it not? For wisdom knows that a son or daughter who honors his father and his mother in obedience will be in a position of safety, and God will be his shield. You know, God goes before those that honor their parents and staves off the fiery darts of the wicked. So we see here that length of life is a promise to those who keep the Father's commandments, because all commandments and all his judgments are given in behalf of life and promote life. Now, some will spend more of those days on earth than others do, but all of the Father's sons are promised long life. What can be longer than eternal life? God gives us eternal life. But even so, you know, we're not to confine ourselves with this life in regard to these proverbs. We're to think beyond that. But even so, all things being equal, the Christian's going to have longer life than the wicked because wisdom is geared to that. So therefore, the father tells his son that it is valuable to keep his commandments, there being great benefits as far as life is concerned. Remember this promise in Deuteronomy 11:18? This was, of course, to the children of Israel. Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. Boy, remember the Jews taking the phylacteries and writing out the scriptures on the little pieces of paper and putting them in the little boxes, and they put them on the frontlets of their eyes? Talk about religion. But this is supposed to be in the heart. And ye shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house and upon thy gates. Why? That your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children. You want your children to have long life? Teach them the Word of God. Get them to fear the Lord and open up the doors of wisdom in their lives, that wisdom may bring forth into their lives that place of safety. Now, this is the same message that we see in our Proverbs passage, where we're told that thy days shall be multiplied and the years of thy life shall be increased. We also saw this same message in Proverbs 3, 1 and 2. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Days shall be multiplied, we're told, by wisdom, and days shall be multiplied by obedience. You know, God wants you to obey because He knows best. Fathers, mothers, you want your children to obey because you know best, not just because you want to put your thumb on your child. But just think about the cautions of your own father that were given to you to keep you on a safe path. They were not commands which would encourage you to go in harm's way, but to make wise decisions that kept you on a way that led to life. One of the things that wisdom does, it brings to the child an understanding of the value of life. And that value of your life is realized in the knowledge and service of God. You know, this life is not to be gambled with in ways of life that are detrimental to life. For the body that is given is like any other gift that God entrusts for your stewardship. You know, you're a steward of your body. Some folks put their bodies through all kinds of torturous activities. But God says that you're a steward of your body. Wisdom says you're a steward of your body. You're to take care of your body. And every decision that is made relates to the longevity of life. Where you go, don't be out on the street at 3 o'clock in the morning. You know, there's a lot of things going on at 3 o'clock in the morning. Unless you're working. Now, Phil had to go up to Jay, I suppose, at 3 o'clock in the, maybe not 3 o'clock in the morning. But where you go and what you eat and how much you eat, what you do and who you are with when you do it, all have an effect on your lifespan. And wisdom brings to her children this knowledge, and inherent in this knowledge is long life. All kinds of things come with wisdom that promote long life. Some sage has said that age is the only thing that comes to us without effort. There's an old saying that says, time marches on, tempus fugit. You know, you had 24 hours yesterday, and you know you're going to have 24 hours today. Not going to be a 36-hour day. But you know, this may be true when it comes to the incessant march of time, but it is not true when it comes to the effort that must be made in order to obey the commands of wisdom. If you want long life, you're going to have to make an effort. God desires for his children a long life, and he encourages this by giving wisdom. Now, Proverbs 16:31 tells us that the hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. The hoary head. You know, the hoary head is a gray head. Believe it or not, I've got gray hair. John does too over here. Stands out like a beacon. Henry's got gray hair. None on Maggie's head. See some on Jay's head. Couple over here. The Woodses. Phil's still got some, if I look around. Richard's got some. Don't think Betty did. Well, over here we've got some over here. This verse says the hoary head is a crown of glory. Do you appreciate that verse, folks, that enjoy the gray head? You can walk around with a crown, the Bible says, if it be found in the way of righteousness. You know, it's a gift of God to a church if there are among its congregants a good smattering of gray heads. You know, beware of the church that has no gray heads in it. Old age, folks, is a gift of God and should be welcomed as such, especially if it be found in the way of righteousness. Praise the Lord for the old heads who have trusted God for many, many years and are walking on his paths. We should remember that a gray head is a crown of glory and should be accepted as such. This spirit of denying one's old age is a rejection of this gift. And it's a vanity that should not be in one who is given the gift of advanced age. The hoary head is a crown of glory. You know, we ought to, as we advance in age, we ought to praise God for our advanced age. John Wesley, who lived between 1703 and 1791, wrote this: 'Tis sweet to grow old in the fear of the Lord, as life's shadows longer creep, till our steps grow slow and our sun swings low, he gives his beloved sleep.'" And a man named Joseph Campbell, who lived in 1881 through 1944, wrote this: "As a white candle in a holy place, so is the beauty of an aged face. You young folks ought to be thankful that you have some aged faces." And a man named Carl Wilson Baker wrote, "Let me grow lovely growing old. So many fine things do, laces and ivory and gold and silks need not be new. And there is a healing in old trees, old streets a glamour hold. Why may not I, as well as these, grow lovely growing old?" And God's word honors his gift to men by the admonition of Leviticus 19:32. "Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God. I am the Lord." You know, there's not much ranking of men in Scripture. And we find that ranking of men in Scripture is a rarity, but God has placed the gray heads in a position of honor. You need to teach that to your children. There's not enough rising up for the old heads. There's not enough making way for the old folks. Children running in front of old folks, not opening the door for old folks, not giving the honor due to old folks. But the Scriptures are clear that God honors those with the gray heads. It is wisdom to respect those God gives to the church who by wisdom have come to an understanding not given to the young. You know, young folks, you don't have an understanding that the old folks have. It takes time. Another sage has written this: "Lord, hear our prayer for those who, growing old, feel that their time of usefulness is told. Let them still find some little part of play, nor feel unwanted at the close of day." You know, there's value in the gray heads. Keep on seeking it. Keep on respecting it. And teach your children that God respects it also. Now, wisdom continues in her instruction in verse 12. By telling who wisdom benefits and the result of a scornful heart. We read this verse: "If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself. But if thou scornest, thou alone shall bear it." Now here we see that wisdom tells us a great truth. And the truth is that wisdom is not a two-way street. God does not give us his ear thinking that he will be instructed by us. God does not say, "Now, what did he say? Oh, now that was a good point. If I listen to that fella, I'm going to be wiser." Did you know that God cannot be profited by us? profit is also one way. Eliphaz the Temanite asked of Job in Job 22, 1 through 3, "Can a man be profitable unto God as he that is wise may be profitable unto himself? Is it any pleasure to the Almighty that thou art righteous? Or is it gain to him that thou makest thy ways perfect?" And from Elihu in Job 35, 6 and 8, "If thou sinnest, what doest thou against him? Or if thy transgressions be multiplied, what doest thou unto him? If thou be righteous, what givest thou him, or what receiveth he of thine hand? Thy wickedness may hurt a man as thou art, and thy righteousness may profit the son of man." See the point here? Any light that you have makes God's place no brighter. Did you know that? The moon does not become brighter in itself. It only becomes brighter from the sun. The moon cannot make the sun brighter. This scripture tells us that you are wise to yourself. God gives wisdom for your benefit, not his. You are to be a blessing to the church and to the world. You are a little reflection of God's light into the dark places of the world, but God has no dark places for you to light up that he may see. That's a humbling statement, isn't it? My, we walk around with our proud faces, thinking that we're something and thinking that just by our very presence, God is uplifted. But whatever comes from wisdom benefits the one who invested in wisdom. That's where the profit goes to. God himself gets no profit. God gives us the profit. And in like manner, whoever invests in scorn will bear the fruit of that scorn. If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself, but if thou scornest, thou alone shalt bear it. You know, God will not be affected by your scorn. God will not be less holy or pure because of the scorn of the scorner. Yes, the scorner is a grief among men, and we're told here that he'll bear the results of that scorn alone. He will eat the fruit of his scorn himself. As Proverbs 29:1 says, "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." The principle, of course, is the same old principle of sowing and reaping. It is the principle of bearing one's own burden. If you sow wisdom, you will bear wisdom. If you sow scorn, you will bear scorn. The crop, then, is yours to choose, but the choice that you make will not change God. God is holy. God is sovereign. Jesus Christ is the same today. He's the same yesterday, and he's the same tomorrow. What you choose won't change that. And that's the message that we find in this last verse that we've studied today. Father, we are so thankful that your scriptures are holy. We're so thankful, Father, that you give us wisdom. We give you none. We're so thankful, Father, that your grace is extended toward us. We have none to give. We are the receiver. You are the benefactor. And help us, Father, to always remember that our hand is always out and yours is always not. Bless us, Father. Bless Brother Adam as he preaches to us this morning. And Father, may our hearts be uplifted because we've been in the house of the Lord today. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.